We need you, dads and birth partners. No one can replace you. Birth is vulnerable, but vulnerability grows into a deep trust and love for one another. It's the foundation of parenthood. Hey there, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Elise Marsh, and I'm your host here on the Perfectly Wonderfully Made podcast. This episode is for your husband or your birth partner or your mom or your best friend, whoever is supporting you in labor. I actually had one of my virtual doula clients request this topic. So here we are. I love hearing your episode request. So drop me a message on Instagram and tell me what you want to hear. All right, dads, are you ready? This episode is for you, so let's get to it. Historically, women gave birth with other women. The Industrial Revolution happened, birth moved out of homes and into hospitals, and dads came back into the birth story as women were often left alone in the hospital to birth their babies with medical staff. Your role today is vital, and we need you. Fully engaged and prepared to take an active role as your spouse or birth partner has this baby. And you're the perfect person for this job. You've got this, okay? We're gonna take it step by step today. Preparing for labor isn't just about supporting your partner. It's also about being as emotionally and mentally prepared for birth and this transition to parenthood as you can be. All right, I'm going to give you a brief overview of what you're going to see in labor. Every woman is unique, and her labor and birth story will be unique to her. But the more comfortable you are with the sights, sounds, and smells of labor and birth, the more equipped you'll be to support your partner emotionally and physically. Here are the basics in a nutshell. You've got three phases in labor: early, active, and transition. That's all just about getting her body ready to push this baby out. Once the work of opening up for the baby to be born is done, you head into the pushing part. This is the exciting part. We call this stage two. I know, phases, stages, it can get confusing. Hang with me. This is the good part when your baby arrives earthside and you get to watch your super strong spouse push out your child. The next part we call stage three, and it's the part where the placenta comes out, that organ your wife or partner grew from nothing that sustains your baby's life. That organ comes out because it's no longer needed now that your baby is here breathing on their own. Then there's the cleanup and transitioning as a new family part. It can be messy for a bit. Hang in there. Keep your eyes focused on your baby and your birth partner. That will really help. Breastfeeding should start soon after birth, and you'll be off sailing into this new life together. Yay! Okay, now we're going to get into some practical, tangible tips for you to support your wife or your birth partner or whoever you're supporting in labor. Some of you may be the best friend or a mom, the grandma, acting as the support person to the laboring woman. This all applies to you. So here we go. Number one, phase one is early labor. Your wife or partner's neocortex is still engaged. Her brain is still connected to her everyday world. She may seek to settle into her birth space wherever that may be, but she will slowly and instinctually begin separating herself from her everyday tasks and interactions with others. She may be able to talk to you while she's having contractions, and your jokes might still be funny at this point, but soon they won't be. Your job right now, if you're around her during this phase, is to take care of the chores, other children, and or pets so she can begin to turn inward and inside of herself. She won't be able to head to the next phase of labor until her older children are settled where they are going to be for the birth and any of her to-dos are completed. Our mama brains don't turn off very easily. So start discreetly but efficiently packing the car or getting your birth space ready at home. The key here, you guys, discreetly. You do not want to distract her from her instinctual need to let established labor take over. If it's morning and early labor is just beginning, go have her take a warm shower. If it's evening, draw a relaxing bath for her with some Epsom salts, any essential oils you already know she likes, low lighting, and candles. Sometimes a bath in the evening will slow contractions down enough so she can get some good rest in between contractions if labor is still in that early phase. But I'll warn you, melatonin and oxytocin, the hormone that she needs a lot of to have this baby, work together. They have a synergistic relationship, and often labor will start or pick up at night. Bummer, I know. So this is your reminder to go to bed early in the days and weeks leading up to her due window if you can. A due window is the month she's due, the 2 weeks before her estimated due date and the 2 weeks following her due date. We call that the due window. If she has a TENS unit, T-E-N-S unit, early labor is an awesome time to put that on. If you don't already have one or you don't know what it is, type it into Amazon and you can go order one now. The TENS unit is an incredible resource and will really help her cope with her contractions. You can help her put the electrode pads on her lower back if she wants. Your next job in early labor, once you've got the kids and the pets situated and anything else on her to-do list done, is to start timing her contractions. I do not want her to time her own contractions. I don't even really want her to know that you're timing them. It will just keep her in her thinking brain. And I want her to be able to go inward and let her instinctual brain take over. So go download an app on your phone. Press start at the beginning of a contraction and stop at the end of one. You should start to see her pause what she's doing when the contraction starts, or get into some kind of rhythmic-like pattern when the contraction begins. So pay attention and you'll get the hang of it. Her contractions may be irregular and vary in length during this early phase. That's great and totally normal. She may not be making a lot of noise at this point, but her sounds should get louder and louder and more intense as her labor progresses. Don't be afraid of her noises. Your next job in early labor is to keep her hydrated. I actually don't want you to talk to her a lot. I know that sounds crazy, but I just want you to make sure that she has access to plenty of water and electrolytes. If she tells you she's hungry, great. Make her a nutrient-dense snack or have her sip on some soup, but don't force it. She likely isn't going to want to eat a whole lot right now. All right, number two, phase two is what we call active labor. When she's reached a more established labor pattern with consistent contractions, she will likely be headed into that active labor phase. This is typically when you'd want to head to your birthplace if you're not planning a home birth. Now, I know that every dad stresses about thinking your wife is going to have a baby in the car on your drive to the hospital. Don't worry, I've got you. I'm going to talk you through this. You're going to have adrenaline at this point as you near the time to leave and get in the car. I want you to know that for the majority of you listening, your wife will not give birth in the car, even though it might feel like she will during that drive. She can hop in the back seat if she wants to for a little more room, or sit wherever she's most comfortable. Put a towel underneath her across the seat before she gets in. If her water breaks or other fluids come out, this is going to come in handy. If you want bonus points, order some Chucks pads on Amazon. You can go to In His Hands Birth Supply online and get those and keep them in the car ahead of time. Put them underneath her and on the floor of the car. If you're driving to the hospital, put on her labor playlist so she can hear it. Silence your navigation directions. If you're using them in a car, they will be a huge distraction to her. My favorite option when transitioning to the hospital is to get some noise-canceling headphones and have your wife wear them in the car. It's going to help her block out some of those distractions she'll be facing and help her focus inward. She can listen to her labor playlist she's made or listen to the Christian Hypnobirthing app on her phone. Both are awesome options. If you're en route to the hospital and she tells you the birth is imminent, pull over. Don't keep driving. Pull over if you can. The good news is that when birth moves quickly like that, it usually means all is well and her body is doing exactly what it needs to do. Hospital dads, let's chat about that transition to the hospital from laboring at home for a minute. If you're not sure when to go to the hospital, I will say, number one, hire a doula. And number two, trust your wife's instincts on this one. I'm sure you guys will. When you leave your house is going to vary from person to person depending on if this is her first baby or not and how far away you are from the hospital. It's really more of an art than a science deciding when to leave. But generally speaking, if this is her first baby, you want to leave when contractions are close together and building in intensity. So around 3 to 4 minutes apart is a happy place to be for an average first-time mom. You want her contractions consistent and intense. Now, this is very subjective. Intensity is subjective. When she's no longer talking to you, you're not funny anymore. And she has to really stop and focus inward on her contractions. You know you're starting to move into active labor land. When you're entering the hospital, either through the emergency department or the labor and delivery unit of your hospital, I want you to answer all the questions of the hospital staff. You are the protector of the laboring woman and the keeper of the birth space. The more you can answer the questions of the medical staff, the more your spouse or birth partner is going to be able to stay in her instinctual brain as labor progresses. We want to limit as many distractions as we can. That means limit talking to her, poking her, or disturbing her unless completely necessary. So I want you to know her due date and be well prepared to tell the medical staff about her health history and her labor progress. That means they're going to ask you, when did labor begin? Has she had any leaking fluid? What color is the fluid if the fluid is present? And when did the leaking begin? Once she's fully entered the active labor phase, she should be very inwardly focused at this point and disengaged with the world around her. This is a really good thing. The name of the game now is to anticipate her needs so she doesn't have to speak. Protect her birth space. Imagine you're a tiger roaming around protecting another mama tiger while she's in labor. Keep the lights low and adjust to her needs as they change. They're gonna change. If she wants you nearby, stay close. If she wants to be alone, let her be. It may be helpful to go over some ideas she has about what would be comforting to her in labor ahead of time. If your partner has asked you to be her primary support person in labor or you're planning to be, I want to encourage you to check out my online course where you're going to get all the information you need to provide her physical support in labor. You'll be able to practice labor coping strategies together and feel confident in your ability to support her needs. So head on over to yourbestbirthcourse.com to enroll. If your spouse or birth partner is planning an epidural, her mood and emotions are going to be different than someone who is having a physiological birth. With an epidural, her brain is separated from what's happening in her body, and she's going to be able to engage with you pretty normally for the most part. She's probably going to sleep, and that's a good thing. If she's had an epidural placed, this is not your cue to do your own thing or disengage mentally from the birth. She may resent you for that later. So stay present as much as you can. Many women tell me that they felt so alone once they got that epidural because everybody left the room, or they fell asleep, or they went and got something to eat, and she felt isolated, confined to her bed. It's okay to sleep when she's sleeping. Just stay nearby and check in with her. All right, my friend, it's your job to know your partner or your wife's birth plan. You are her greatest advocate. If she's proceeding with an unmedicated birth and has fully entered what we call labor land, and her thinking brain is turned off so she can fully give herself to her labor, then you are the one who should be communicating to the hospital staff on her behalf. You want your wife or the laboring woman as undisturbed as possible during this time. Are you getting a theme here? I hope so. You need to know what her plan is for pain management and coping with contractions, how she wants the pushing part to go, as well as what her plans are for her baby and the immediate postpartum period. I recommend having a laminated birth plan with clear, short bullet points in your birth bag. Tape that sucker on the door of your room when you get there. You want your text to be big enough to read, clear, concise, and not too wordy. So then the hospital staff has to walk by it and see it when they enter your room. Hopefully they'll notice. Your wife or birth partner may be quiet during this phase, or she may make a lot of moaning noises. Either way, it's all good. You want her to be free and comfortable to make whatever sounds feel good to her. All right, third phase. Phase three we call transition. This is the toughest part of the whole getting your body ready to push out a baby. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's hard to see someone you love doing something so incredibly hard. So I need you to be prepared for this. Some women are going to soar through this quickly, and others will stay here for a good long while. This is when I want you to whisper things to her like, "You're so strong. You're doing great. You've got this. I'm so proud of you. Your body is working perfectly." Just like that, just a little bit more. Beautiful job. Keep your affirmations short and focused on reminding her how capable she is. It's normal at this phase to hear things from your spouse or birth partner like, "I can't do this. Get this thing out of me." And, "I'm done. I'm so done." The sounds she's making will often start sounding more grunty and guttural about this time as the baby gets lower in her pelvis and the brain starts feeling those sensations of being ready to push. Encourage her to listen to her body and go with her instincts. If she has an epidural, she should still notice some downward pressure in her bottom and her rectum as her baby descends. If she starts to panic at this point, which is also normal, ask her if she can do one more contraction. If she says yes, then encourage her to just do one more, to stay in the current moment with you. If she needs ideas or looks like what she's currently doing is no longer working, the bath or the toilet are wonderful options at this point in labor. Once all of that cervix, which is just the lowest part of the uterus that has to open up for the baby to be born, once it's stretched over your baby's head and is totally out of the way, your spouse or birth partner will begin pushing your baby out of her. An average first-time mom could push anywhere from 1 to 4 hours, longer if she's got an epidural, but there's no length of time that is too long to push as long as mom is doing great and baby is doing great. If she's an experienced pusher and this isn't her first baby, things will usually move pretty quick at this point. Next up is stage two, which is the pushing part. The biggest thing for you to do right now is to encourage her to listen to her body and move into whatever position feels best for her. You don't need to direct her or interrupt what's going on. She's in the height of that birth dance with her baby, and the two of them are working together beautifully. Let her move and rock and sway in whatever position feels good to her. If she looks like she could use a drink, hold the water out for her, but do your best not to be a distraction. You can sit behind her and support her while she's pushing if you want to. If you've previously discussed catching your baby, you can stay close to her and be ready to catch. But be sure to talk about how she wants this part to go ahead of time, okay? Does she want to catch her own baby? Does she want you to? Is she planning for the doctor or the midwife to? Most of the time, if the woman is planning to catch her baby, she will naturally find an upright position so her arms are free to catch that baby. If she wants someone else to catch, she might find a hands and knees position or other forward-leaning position. Now, if she's medicated with an epidural, there will likely be a lot of coaching going on and directed pushing from the medical staff. That is the culture in which we live. Stay by her side in this case and cheer her on if she wants you to. Keep telling her how wonderful she is doing. Once the baby is born, ideally the baby should go straight to your wife or birth partner's chest for skin to skin. She will have a placenta to push out sometime after the baby is born. It could happen really quickly after birth, or it could take up to an hour or so. Ask your spouse or partner what their plan is for the placenta. You've got an additional person to advocate for now, but don't worry, because your wife or birth partner should be able to come back to the discussion at this point. All of the newborn evaluations and care can be done after breastfeeding has been established or while the mother is holding the baby. If you want to delay or decline any of the typical hospital newborn procedures, now is the time to remind the staff of what you want. Your role in your spouse or birth partner's birth is crucial. The more you're prepared to support your wife or your birth partner in labor, the better they will do. I'm not going to lie, birth can be so intense. It can be loud. There can be a lot of smells. Things don't always go as planned. The more you're able to stay calm and centered, the better you will do at supporting your partner in labor. So that means you're going to need to learn some coping skills too. If things get hairy or the birth doesn't go like you'd hoped it would, I need you to keep breathing. Breathe in for 4, hold for 4, breathe out for 4. If you're stressed out, your partner is going to pick up on those feelings and emotions, and it could really throw her off. If she senses your fear, it could trigger a fight or flight response in her and make her labor more challenging. Shoot, that's not what we want to do. If you need to step out into the hall or go into a different room or go take a walk, please do. You will be so much more helpful to your spouse or partner if you're calm, centered, and in control of your emotions. Remember, you are the guardian of the birthplace. Protect it. I need you to stay flexible and adaptable. This birth is not in your control. And there will be elements you need to surrender just as much as your laboring partner does. If you're feeling overwhelmed, do not tell your wife or birth partner that. But step out into the hallway or away from where she can hear you and tell a nurse or your midwife or your doula that. There have been births where I have sent the dad away to go get a burger and a beer because his energy was train wrecking the woman in labor. And you know what happened? He came back engaged, calm, positive, and ready to support his wife. We all get hungry, tired, and overwhelmed. We're often not our best selves when we are sleep deprived or hungry or hangry. It's likely you're going to lose sleep during this labor, and you're not going to have the same hormones working for you that your wife or birth partner has to keep her going. So you've got to take breaks when you need them, and don't feel badly about doing so, because you're going to be better able to support her if you take care of yourself too. If you're planning a hospital birth, there are a few things I want you to pack for yourself: a sleeping bag, pillow, and a neck pillow. You may end up sleeping upright in a chair, and that neck pillow is going to be so clutch. I've seen experienced dads pack an inflatable camping pad to sleep on. Your options aren't great. Some of you will remember this. So bring an eye mask, headphones, and possibly a small fan or white noise machine. Hospitals are loud, and you don't get a ton of sleep. They're not really for sleeping. Pack snacks you like to eat. Ask people to drop off takeout for you if the birth is long and you're at the hospital. Cafeterias don't have awesome hours, and there's no guarantee the food will even be good. Be sure to eat outside of the hospital room when your wife or birth partner is in labor. Your eating will distract her, but you need to stay fueled. So step out when you need a break. Doulas are awesome resources when it comes to you getting the breaks you need. All right, how are we feeling? I know we've covered a lot. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd encourage you to check out my online course, Your Best Birth, and dive in with your birth partner. It's a wonderful way to bond and prepare for this birth. If you're a reader, Penny Simkin wrote an incredible book called The Birth Partner, and it will be a wonderful resource for you. All right, let's recap, you guys. We need you, dads and birth partners. No one can replace you. Birth is vulnerable, but vulnerability grows into a deep trust and love for one another. It's the foundation of parenthood. Good things are ahead for you, my friend. Remember, you're the guardian of the birth space. You are her advocate. Be steady on the outside, even if you feel like you're crumbling on the inside. Deep breaths. Take breaks when you need them, and don't hesitate to ask for help when you don't know what to do. Ultimately, just be with her. You can't do this for her. You can't birth this baby. Only she can. She is strong enough. Just remind her of that, and you're going to be so great. If you found today's episode encouraging or helpful, would you stop right now and share this episode with a friend? Would you take 30 seconds for me and leave a review on Apple Podcasts? This is really one of the only ways for the show to grow, and it lets me know how I can serve you better and just brings a huge smile to my heart. Just scroll on down there until you see that purple write a review button and leave your review there. If you're a dad or pregnant mama listening today and you're ready to go deeper with me on your journey to preparing for the best possible birth experience, I want to invite you to come into my virtual doula program and work with me one-on-one. Pregnancy is a beautiful journey, and I would be so honored to walk alongside you and support this transformative season of your life. We're going to tackle your fears and get you the support you need to have the best birth experience possible. It can happen, and I'll show you how. So head on over to elisemarsh.com right now and learn how you can work with me. Have a wonderful day, my friend, and I'll see you back here again soon. Bye.